right, Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. Start reading a paragraph mark, verse 14, John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I especially want to take our text from that most famous of Bible verses, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to preach this morning on the greatest statement. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit come down and bear witness to the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be stirred as we remember some of the obvious truths and yet powerful truths in this great passage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to say this morning that from the viewpoint of men and women and boys and girls, there is no greater statement than John 3:16.
Amen.
This is, as far as I know, the most famous verse in a King James Bible. We love it because it tells of God's love, God's gift, our escape from punishment and attaining eternal life. What more sublime thoughts than John 3:16 could ever be grasped by a human mind?
Amen.
What better news could ever be heard? What headlines could be more important? I don't care if the headline of this evening's news was that the world is about to be blown up, this is more important than that.
Amen. Amen.
This tells you how you'll live forever anyhow. What knowledge could be more profound and more life-changing? If all we ever do is teach little preschool children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, we've done more than about anybody else could ever do for them.
Yes, amen.
So let's look at this great verse, John 3:16. Now the first thing I see here in it, I'm going to give a bunch of superlatives. The greatest things in it. It's the greatest statement. The reason it's the greatest statement, first of all, is because of the greatest lover found in it. Who is the greatest lover? God. For God. There is no greater love than this. Beloved, let us love one another, John says in his first epistle. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is the greatest lover there could ever be. Every day we enjoy his blessing. Even those that don't love him and don't appreciate him breathe his air and drink his water and eat his food and enjoy his health and enjoy his truth for as long as they live, and God gives them plenty of chance to turn and to repent and to come to him. He is standing there with arms open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
And when there came up a problem, when there came up a gap between us and God, where we couldn't get to Him, and we certainly can't, He came to us.
Amen.
He made a way. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You know who the greatest lover there could ever be in the history of the universe or in eternity before and after history? God. No wonder it's the greatest statement, because it talks about the subject of the greatest lover. Then I see the greatest degree. It says, for God so loved. Now there's some people that we love, but we don't love them this much. There is no way in the world there's anybody you love this much. For God so loved. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 8. If you want, you can follow along, but if not, I'll read it to you here. Romans chapter 8. What a great chapter, Romans 8.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 35. The Word of God says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In spite of all these things, we can overcome them. We can conquer them. We can win. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That list covered about everything.
Amen.
I can't think of anything that isn't in there. I don't care what trial or tribulation you're going through, there just isn't anything that can separate you from His love in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you're looking for His love in nature, you can be separated from that. If you're looking for His love through your good works, there will be times you will certainly be separated from that. If you're looking for His love in money, you can be separated from that. His love in Christ Jesus, there's no getting away from that.
Amen.
There is no greater degree. The greatest lover is God. The greatest degree is so loved. Now, how big was this crew that He loves? He loved the greatest company. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That's every race. That's both sexes. That's rich or poor. That's old or young. That's people in the south and people in the north. That's people in the eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. That's people above the equator and below the equator. That's people alive and dead. That's everybody there's ever been and ever could be. He died for all. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That same Bible that says we're all guilty of breaking His law also says that God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come die for the good ones. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
That's right.
Is there a sinner in the house? Then there's a Savior for you. The only ones He can't help are the ones that will not have Him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible does warn us about the world. It says the whole world lies in wickedness. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But it also says, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, it's hopeless outside of God's work and God's love and God's finished atonement on the cross of Calvary and the grave and rising from that grave. It's hopeless outside of that, but there is plenty of hope within that. The greatest lover is God. The greatest degree is so loved. The greatest company is the world. There have been people get saved that folks would have thought could never
be saved.
Amen. Amen. One that comes to mind often when I think about this is the Apostle Paul.
That's a good point.
I mean, he went and he did anything he could when he found people of that way. He had certain characteristics he looked for. And he said, this way, people of this way, that way, you knew them. And he would take the men and the women, and he would put them in prison, he would torture them. He was fine with it when they stoned Stephen, and he held their coats while they did it. And lo and behold, God got a hold of his heart. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you're hoping will get saved. I don't know who you're praying for, but let me tell you something. God can do it. Now, he does not take away their free will. They can choose to reject him. He will not force you to trust him as your Savior, but he will sure offer it to you.
Yes.
And he sure paid a great price for it, and he is very invested in it. And you can't be more invested than to give the lifeblood of your only begotten Son for something.
Amen.
There is nothing in this world more precious and dear to you than that. You can't accuse him of sending you to hell if he went that far to stop it. If you go to hell, it's because you just choose to over the blood of his Son shed for you so you wouldn't. The greatest lover is God. The greatest degree is so loved. The greatest company is the world. The greatest act. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now that's an act. Could any of us blame him if he would have chosen not to do that?
Amen. No.
You need something from the Lord, if it is for your good, I'm betting you've got it. If he gave you his only begotten Son, why in the world would he withhold anything else unless it just really isn't good for you? In fact, Romans 8:32 says that. It says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, there's the world, the greatest company, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Mm-hmm. What if one of my kids said, Dad, could you give me $5 so I can get a burger and fries? I don't think you can get a burger and fries for $5 anymore. But what if they did? What if they said, Dad, can you give us $5 so we can get a sandwich and something, chips or something? And he said, oh, well, with tax, it's $5.20. And I said, no, here's $5. I can give you 20 cents. That wouldn't make much sense, would it?
That's right.
But multiplied by millions and billions and trillions, why in the world would he give his only begotten Son and not give us anything else we need?
Yeah.
You talk, anything else we need is chump change beside that. It doesn't even deserve to be called chump change. The greatest act that he gave. Let me tell you about our God. He is a loving, giving God.
Yes,
and if you ever question that, you just remember, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How can we ever question, God forgive me that I have ever questioned, that he would give anything to me I needed if he gave his only begotten Son for me? Mm-hmm. Greatest act that he gave. I've already stolen a little bit of my thunder on the next point when I say this is not only the greatest lover and the greatest degree and the greatest company and the greatest act, but the greatest gift.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He saw a need. He knew the only way to meet that need was to give his son. And he gave it. And did we deserve it? No. And were we sinners? And not only did we not deserve it, to say we didn't deserve it might paint this picture in your mind. That we needed to be at this level to deserve it, and unfortunately we were only at this level. No, it was nothing like that. No, we needed to be at this level if we were ever going to deserve it, and we weren't even on the graph. John 15:13. We're in the book of John anyway, so let me turn over here to chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His only begotten Son. Here was a sin debt that had to be paid, and God is too holy and God is too just to let the sin debt not go paid, be paid, and it was going to cost us our eternal souls. But He loved us and didn't want us to be lost. So He paid the price. And the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, got in on it for sure, in that He was willing to be the sacrificial lamb Himself. You want to accuse God the Father or God the Son of not loving you enough and not giving you something you needed? How in the world could you even think that thought?
Amen.
The greatest gift there could ever be. That leads me to the next couple words, and I call it the greatest opportunity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. You talk about an open opportunity. It's open to anyone. Don't you love the language that they use in the silly get-rich-quick schemes? I remember when I was young and probably about a teenager and I got wanting to make some money, I came across a classified. And they said, oh, you can make hundreds of dollars doing nothing but stuffing envelopes. Man, my heart started racing. I got excited. I'll have them send me them papers and them envelopes, and I'll stick them in there and make just hundreds of dollars. And, you know, to a teenager back in the 1980s, hundreds of dollars was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And all I got to do is put paper in one thing. I got talking. I don't remember if it was Dad or some other older, wiser person with a little more experience, they said, you know, that is a get-rich-quick scheme. You can't believe everything they say. I've known people that tried that, and they got all this stuff in, and there was this problem, and they couldn't get this out, and couldn't get that out, and it didn't work out like they thought. And you know what? They quit real quick. Other times they'll tell you, well, if you'll just be a salesman selling this particular food or this particular item, oh, there are people that have made millions and billions. Yeah, most people try it for a little while and get right out of it because it doesn't work for them. The greatest opportunity. Now, I admit, sometimes it's because people ain't willing to put in work. No doubt about it. But sometimes people overpromise and underdeliver.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what God says. Whosoever. It's easier than stuffing envelopes. Whosoever. It's easier than selling a product that everybody wants. You've heard the old joke about he can sell ice to an Eskimo, you know. I mean, it's easier than selling something that is plentiful and yet everybody needs. Whosoever, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what the Lord did? He made a situation in which there is a great need. I admit that. But He also made a very simple way out. Whosoever. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Mm-hmm. You can't be any simpler than that. You can't have a better opportunity than that. You don't even have to stuff envelopes. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 20:15, though, also gives us another whosoever. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's open to anybody. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
You can choose that one too. There's a whosoever on both sides of the equation. But you'll have to admit, it's the greatest opportunity. It's open to anybody. Then I see the greatest simplicity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. It doesn't cost you a dime. It doesn't take any work. It doesn't take any effort. It doesn't take stopping bad habits and starting good habits. Although that would be helpful in a number of areas of your life. But your salvation doesn't hinge on it. What if you don't have strong enough willpower? What if you're not smart enough to figure it out? What if you're not strong enough to get the work done? Whosoever believeth. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 16. When that Philippian jailer saw what was going on with Paul and Silas, he went in and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Then they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
Of all the religions in the world, you tell me one simpler than believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trust. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Just receive him. No action necessary. Just be willing to take it. If I give you a gift that you didn't pay for, you didn't work for me for, the only thing you have to do to have it is accept it. You could, I suppose, take it and throw it away and say, "I don't want it." But that's the only action necessary, is that you receive it. Mm-hmm. What could be simpler than that? Can you possibly blame God that you're not saved, when all you have to do is receive the gift? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Mm-hmm. What are the next two words? That whosoever believeth in him. I call this the greatest attraction. You tell me who is more attractive than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You tell me who is better than the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell me who can give you more benefits than the Lord Jesus Christ. What if somebody told you, "I have a friend that I want you to meet, and this friend has the most important contacts of anybody in the world or the universe. He has more riches than anybody in the world or the universe. He has the biggest, most loving heart of anybody in the world or the universe. He is able to bless you way more than anybody in the world or the universe. He has the best moral compass and always does right better than anybody in the world or the universe."
Amen.
Wouldn't you want to meet this friend?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want a lover like that? He is the greatest attraction there could possibly ever be. Of course you would believe in him. Of course you would put your trust in him. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the most sacrificial person in the world or in the universe. If you need anything, you've got it more than anybody in the world or in the universe. There is simply nothing to compare to him. He is the main character in the Bible, in history, and in eternity. Nothing else compares. Whosoever believeth in him. And he showed up one day and gave himself to you. Galatians 1:4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." He already knew ahead of time what you needed and showed up and gave it before you even knew to ask. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. He stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain and patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain. for he is so precious to me.
Amen.
I mean, is it not enough how great he is, but doesn't it make it personal to realize how long he sat there waiting for you and calling for you and knocking on your door until you even heard him? Doesn't that bring it home personally as to how good he was? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. What greater gift could he give than himself?
Amen.
Somebody wanted to give you a great gift. What gift could they possibly give more than to give their life to you? Ephesians 5:25, likening these things to marriage. The Word of God says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That would fix some marriage problems, wouldn't it? Some husbands gave themselves.
Amen.
Didn't provide a paycheck. Didn't just pay the bills, but gave himself.
Amen.
Whoa. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He doesn't just meet your needs. He doesn't just feed you. He just doesn't give you the air and the water that you need. Although he does all these things, he gave himself. Boy, that's a different thing. The greatest attraction. Next, I see the greatest promise. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You know what your main number one earliest, most basic emotion that you've ever felt is fear.
Oh, yeah.
The first emotion a baby ever feels, I think, I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist, I'm very average, but I'll tell you this, I believe, first thing a child feels is fear as far as emotion. And mama or daddy holding that baby and comforting that baby and making sure that baby knows it's safe is a big part of their welfare from a very young age. And when you get in your 50s, you know what one of your main concerns is going to be? Fear from safety. And when I say when I was in my 40s and my 30s and my 20s. And those of you older than me, I'm pretty sure fear is still an important emotion in your life.
Amen.
And safety and security. Let me tell you what the Lord God offers, because he loved this world. A promise, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Isn't it a blessing when there's a problem and you're fearful and you're scared of what's going to happen and somebody shows up and they've got the goods and they're able to alleviate that fear and they say, don't worry, I got it. Not long ago, I know of a story where somebody was in mess and bad trouble and they're real scared of the effects of it and the results of it. Somebody had the means to fix the very problem they were so scared of. And they could hear the person stuttering and nervous and their voice shaking and they just said, stop worrying. Got it. All of a sudden, it just got quiet. It's handled! It's over! Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You worry about what happens after death? Handled. Price is paid. Taken care of. And you know why it was done? Not by an accident. Because somebody loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You say, but I still die. Yeah, but it's a whole different thing when you die and just go into the arms of Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, way different than no idea where you end up, and especially scared you're going to hell.
Amen.
Greatest promise. John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Not everybody does. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Greatest promise should not perish. Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but. I call that the greatest difference. On one side is the ones that are perishing, on one side are the ones that don't. But that little conjunction changes a lot of things. It goes from what we were to what we shall be. At first, we were perishing. Until we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we were there. That was the road we were on. Before, we were spiritually dead. After, we're spiritually alive. It goes from what we were to what we shall be. From where we would have been to where we will be. What we escaped to what we shall gain. But, wonderful thing. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. It's like similar to our word appease. Propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We had some sins. We were living in sin. But God came with that propitiation, which means it appeased his wrath, it paid the debt, and we went from perish to everlasting life. Romans 4:6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. We were unrighteous, all of a sudden righteousness went to our account.
Hey.
Why? He said, all right, if I can just get believing from him, I'll count that.
Yes.
And for all the sins in your past, don't worry. They're forgiven, washed away in the blood of Christ. Say, well, wait a minute. I'm still a sinner. I still sin. Yeah, but those future ones won't be accounted to you.
That's true.
Won't be imputed to you.
Sure.
Who in the world would not take that gift?
Amen.
Who in the world would say, I can have eternal life, no sins from the past because they're washed away. No sins in the future because they won't be charged to me. They're already all paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to face any judgment, but I'm not interested. Who would say that? The greatest difference. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How in the world can a just God do that? I deserve it. Here's why. He gave it to somebody else and they were more than willing to pay the price. I have known people that owed a debt that they couldn't pay. But somebody that loved them, some friend, some family member, some relative, somebody that loved them, went down and wrote a check and paid that debt so they'd be free from it. Do you think that person said, forget it, I ain't taking that money from you? No, they're just glad to get the debt paid. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ did, we had a debt. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. For Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Amen.
Differences. But for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. I call this the greatest certainty. Have! It's not, well, if you hold out faithful to the end, then maybe you can. There are denominations that when they preach, will not give assurance of salvation because you might fall. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it right now if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. They say, yeah, but what if in the future you fall? That verse says, shall not come into condemnation. Is the verse correct or incorrect? Is it lying or honest? It says, hath everlasting life. If you end up perishing a few days later or a few years later, you did not have everlasting life.
Right.
You had temporary life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That is a certainty.
Yes,
amen.
Have everlasting life. We're in the book of John. Let's look over it. Chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 27, we'll start reading. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is the greatest certainty. That you already have, as soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life. Now it's certain, now it's done. The wording of the King James Bible cannot be understood any other way if you take it literally. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I call that the greatest possession. If a doctor came up with the secret where you would not age and die, what in the world would that be worth to people?
Amen.
Well, Dr. Jesus did.
Yeah,
everlasting life. But the price is way more than you and I could ever possibly pay. In fact, it cannot be measured in dollars or pesos or whatever. Well, it could be measured in Krugerrands or gold pieces of any sort or silver pieces of any sort. It couldn't be measured in the planets and the stars and the sun and everything in the universe. It took the lifeblood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that could possibly do it. What in the world is a more precious substance than that? But if that is paid, you know what you get? You get greatest possession anybody could ever have, everlasting life. You can tell how valuable somebody's net worth and their wealth is by the stuff they're able to buy with it. When you see a great big estate and a great big mansion and all the comforts and luxuries and conveniences that mankind has ever come up with, you know you've got a real rich person there to be able to afford all that. But not one, as rich as they all are, not one of them are able to purchase eternal life.
Amen.
Except through this transaction that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Eternal life, that is the greatest possession. Sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 2, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
In him you get eternal life. Without him you don't have it. It's that simple. That is the greatest possession. All right, what have we seen today? Today, you'll have to admit, we have preached a positive message.
Amen.
It is an inclusive message. And they want to say us old-fashioned, traditional, conservative-type people are just not positive enough, and we're just not inclusive enough. You tell me what could be more positive than you can have eternal life free just because somebody wants to give it to you as a gift. You tell me what could be more inclusive than anybody in the whole world can have it. There's nothing more positive or inclusive than that. What is more pleasant than being loved to the point of ultimate sacrifice by the all-powerful God? Titus 1:2 says it this way, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Amen.
You know what God did? Way back, even before history, He foresaw this, and He already had it planned.
Yeah, that's correct.
He already had the price paid and the plan in place to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this is? This is the greatest statement. Reminding your perspective, what in the world could be a greater statement than this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this chance to read this great passage and this great verse. Lord, I pray that we